This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking to my good colleague, Dr. Leo Galland. Dr. Galland is author of many books that you're familiar with, including most recently, The Allergy Solution. He's known in integrative circles as being a great innovator and teacher. He's spoken at innumerable conferences and written fantastic papers. But this is really a departure from what we come to expect from Dr. Galland. The book is already here. A Doctor Discovers the Truth About Heaven. It's about his personal experiences with the spirit of his deceased son. Wow, that's pretty intense. And in the book, he says he's playing to a different aspect of his personality, not the scientific, logical, Western side of his brain, but he says that he appreciated the fact that he had intellect and analytic strength of mind, stamina and ability to keep working and working physically and mentally, pushing the limits of endurance. And but he'd have to stop relying on these attributes and make room for their opposites, opening himself up to an entirely different form of learning and insight, which is what the spirit that came to him in the form of his deceased son, Chris, provided with him over the years. And so you actually had the experience that, in effect, Chris was channeling you with information. What was Chris like as a, you know, when he was a child? I mean, he was tough to tackle, right?
Yeah, well, he was described as engaging in some form of attention getting behavior about every 5 minutes. And he was always looking for the opposite in ways that could be maddening or funny or sometimes quite insightful. And as difficult and behaviorally as he could be, he also could be quite poetic and very funny.
But he's sort of an agent provocateur, you know,
Yeah, definitely. And he treated different people to different aspects of his behavior. And that is also part of this gift of the opposite. That is, because of his brain damage, he was often in the company of people who were more severely damaged than he was. Sometimes mute, almost not even responding to human contact. Chris always treated those people with just with respect. He would talk to them. He would address them by their names. He would treat them as if they were totally normal and not disabled or impaired in any way. And he just did that naturally. I mean, he wasn't making a big show of it. It's just the way he was. If he happened to encounter people who felt they were losers and, really uncertain about themselves, he would get those people to take care of him in such a way that they would feel like they were really effective human beings. Hmm. But if you were somebody who thought that you were really smart or very rational or very patient or authoritative or a really good person, he could drive you crazy. He could show you how stupid and irrational and impulsive you are. He could really bring you face to face with your dark side. He had this incredible ability to instantly sense what every person thought about themselves and show them that the opposite was also true. And I mean, I think that really describes the way Chris is being in the world. And his demand for attention, I came to realize, actually has to do with the second gift, which is the gift of presence. And now Christopher himself was always either present or not present. That is, he had two ways of doing things. If he didn't want to do something, you couldn't get him to do it. If he wanted to do it, he would be totally 100% involved in doing it. You ought to see what it was like having lunch with Chris when there was food he wanted to eat. He wouldn't talk. And I have a description from a psychologist about what it was like having lunch with Chris. He wouldn't talk till he had finished eating because he was in such ecstasy from eating. Now, he was demanding that of you also. That is, you couldn't fake it with Chris. When you were with him, you had to be fully present the same way that he was. And he wouldn't settle for anything less. So one of the reasons I dedicated the book to his grandmother is she was the only person that I ever saw with Chris who was able to do that 100% of the time.
So it's really unconditional love and acceptance.
Right. And there was nothing. When she was with Chris, there was nothing in the universe outside of Chris. Hmm. So he was constantly demanding presence. And he was demonstrating.
How rare is that in our daily encounters, you know, with our family members, our spouses, our patients even, it's a rare commodity in this modern day and age.
It really is. But, it is, I mean, I found that in my work with patients that presence is really important. I mean, it makes all the difference. Hard. It's tough because you have these time pressures and time urgency.
It's healing in itself, even if you don't offer answers. I mean, hopefully you offer answers, specific action plans, but just to be present is a healing activity.
Yeah, it is. And I've kind of reached the point where if something is preventing me from being fully present with a patient, I want to call that patient later and say, hey, I'm really sorry, you know. I meant to be fully present because I think that's what people need. Mm-hmm. Now, the main thing that interferes with that has to do with time and our perception of time. And that kind of gets to Chris's third gift, which is the gift of timelessness. Hmm. The hardest one for me to really wrap my mind around. But the one that at the end of the day is closest to what the conclusions that scientists are reaching about our universe. And, I mean, Chris certainly, he mostly revealed this to me in some of the dialogues that we had after his death. And by the way, just to put those in a context, for several years after Chris's death, I had no contact with him. I went on with my work. We grieved. We remembered him. I tried to hold on to that memory of his magnificent spirit at the time of his death, because it was such a beautiful feeling. But there was no contact. And then one night I was awakened at about 3 a.m. with a voice saying, "You have to tell my story. People need to know." And I recognized that voice came from Chris. It wasn't like his voice in life. It was different, but somehow I knew this was Chris. And so I set about trying to write about him and what I'd experienced. It went on, intermittently over the course of a year. And, during that time, I would kind of throw out questions to him. They were actually pretty, pretty casual sometimes. And this voice would come back with answers that were way more than I had ever expected. And that really challenged me. And I came to recognize that that the responses got more and more challenging. Chris kind of started with things that were easy for me to understand and accept, like the value of adversity and in life and how it's essential for spiritual growth. But he moved on to the illusory nature of time and space. Hmm. And, And the last conversation I had with him was really astonishing. And that was one in which I asked him, what's it like in heaven? And that's where the title of the book came from, already here. So he said kind of joyfully, it's what I always wanted. Everyone is here. Everyone. Hmm. Even you. Well, then that kind of gave me a chill, but I always challenged everything that Christopher said to me. And so I said, well, what about the evil ones? Why are they there? What about Adolf Hitler? And Chris went into an explanation of the reason that the universe exists, the reason that we exist, and the origins of evil, which was kind of mind-boggling. And what he had previously told me, and he reiterated, is that God is love. And he was very specific that he didn't mean God loves. God is not a separate being that loves us, but that love is God. God is love. That is the divine source of the universe, is love. Love is something that has to be, that has to exist between separate beings. It's not like this homogeneous oneness. And it has to be given freely. Matter is ideally suited to separation. The reason there is matter is to allow the kind of separation into beings that allows love to exist. That's why there's the earth. And
As an antidote to that separation, to the lack of unity that might occur in a matterless universe of just spirit alone.
Yes, yes, it has to. The universe is essential for love, but the power of love is so strong that it cannot be contained by matter, and that is what heaven is.
Okay, folks. This is a good point at which to pause because we allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a message with you, so here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our guest, Dr. Leo Galland.
And with regard to evil, what he's and what is really special about human beings is that we have a consciousness that allows us to see, to recognize the uniqueness and the otherness that underlies creation. That matter exists to allow the creation of otherness, so that we can love the otherness. That is our reason for being here, and to cherish
otherness. Where does hate come in, and where does, you know, murder, tragedy, genocide, and so on come in?
Right. So most of the bad things that happen in the world aren't necessarily evil. They're due to stupidity and greed and selfishness and the unstable nature of matter and other things like that. But there are beings who willfully and consciously choose to hate otherness rather than to love it. Chris describes this as a crime against God and says this is the only crime against God that's really possible. And that those beings are pitiful and are in a state of eternal torment because of the schism in their souls produced by this. They are subverting the purpose of their existence. Hmm. And each of us, including them, has a perfect self. Their separation from that is a source of torment to them. And then he went on to say that there's sadness in heaven for those pitiful creatures, but I can't say that it dampens in any way diminishes our joy, because it was always this way and it always will be, because he had previously explained to me that there is only one moment. He calls it God's moment. Philosophers have called it the eternal present, and that the arrow of time does not encompass that moment. It's just a small fragment of it. And time as we know it is kind of an illusion. It doesn't describe the totality of our reality.
How have these experiences changed your view of death? Because, you know, it's a lot of things. I think what really governs people's behavior, you know, certainly past adolescence, perhaps, or middle age, is a fear of death, you know, an effort to push away against death, do activities and make them forget their mortality, or they dread and fear aging and decrepitude and the ultimate their ultimate demise.
Well, very soon after the vision of Chris's spirit and the episode with the balloon, my fear of death just kind of disappeared. It was pretty clear to me that death isn't the end of things. It's just another state of being. And actually, it looked like Chris was having way more fun than I was. So this was not something.
A release from this mortal coil, right?
Yeah. This was not something to be dreaded.
Right.
This was something that.
And also a release from his physical disabilities and limitations, pains, his sufferings. Where he was no longer constrained.
Right, he wasn't, but he also kind of indicated to me that he actually never felt constrained by
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm.
As for all the disappointments mm-hmm. that he had, all mm-hmm. the things he couldn't do, mm-hmm. there was a part of him that never felt constrained.
Mm-hmm. That's just a projection of us who are normal, that we project on these individuals.
Right, but what I did realize that with timelessness, there is no loss. You don't lose anything, because there is one moment and everything is within it. And when I can really kind of see the world through that focus, through that lens, there's an uncanny peacefulness that I feel, and an irresistible smile spreads across my face. Sometimes I kind of feel like, wow, this is what Buddha saw.
Hmm.
But it's not, I mean, you can't rationally get there. You have to be able to unpin yourself from the arrow of time and allow your mind to drift to a much deeper and broader reality, which is the kind of reality that Christopher presented to me in our discourses.
Mm-hmm. On a more prosaic level, is there a message here in this book for parents and families and educators who deal with challenging and oppositional children?
Yeah, actually, what I realized was that maybe my main motivation, and maybe even Christopher's motivation, was more than to reveal all of these insights and profound concepts, was to reveal a method that would help people see the Christophers in their own lives. I mean, we all have Christophers in our lives. There are many Christophers out there. People who are impaired, damaged, challenged, and challenging. People that it's easier to ignore. They have so much to teach us. And I really think that Chris wanted me to tell a story that would help people find the Christophers in their own lives. The purpose of this was not to turn Christopher into some kind of icon or special being. And he was so explicit with this. He's just like everybody else. So that really is what I most hope that people who read this book are able to connect with, their own Christophers, and learn, open their hearts and their minds to them and learn from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, in life, we sometimes are privileged to encounter angels, as you did, and they can have a profound impact on us. You know, I just have to commend you for your insatiable curiosity and thirst for knowledge, because it goes well beyond material constraints of science as we know it, and reaches into a realm of possibilities that I think are really mind expanding. And I think that for many people who read the book, I mean, it's a little different, but I recommend it very highly, because it's so thought provoking and inspirational. So I wanted to get the word out. Any final thoughts? And by the way, just is there a website? Is there a way that people can get a preview of this? And
well, I have on my website, drgallan.com, drgallan.com, I have a discussion about the book. There are a series of videos that are on the Hay House website and also appear on my Facebook page, Leo Gallan, MD, that were created by my son, Jordan, in which I talk about the book.
He was a gifted filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah. And the first one especially has a lot of pictures of Chris, and Jordan chose those that really capture his spirit. And yeah, there is one other point that I think that was really important to me, was the realization, and this relates to people finding Christophers in their own lives, that these discussions that I had with Christopher and what I learned from him, these were not just revelations from beyond the grave, that in his short and very difficult life, Christopher actually managed to embody these principles. He lived this way, and he was teaching us through the way he was as a flesh and blood human being, not just as a spirit after his death. And being able to see that is just as important to me as being able to try and understand the metaphysical implications of what he taught me.
And so we just need to be present, alert, and receptive. And, you know, our society and our education so closes down our faculties to appreciate some of these experiences.
Yes, be open to experience and be aware of the opposite. I mean, the opposite is so powerful. It is always there, and it is the secret to a deeper understanding.
It is always there, and the book is already here. A Doctor Discovers the Truth About Heaven. Thank you so much, Leo Gallan, for joining us today, and much success with the book. I hope that it reaches a lot of people.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.